Welcome to the Nail Your Nutrition Podcast, a podcast focused on nutrition, fueling, intuitive eating, and training for endurance activity. Each week, we put out evidence-based information to help you learn to fuel adequately to ace your training and achieve PRs. You'll hear interviews with sports nutrition experts, new and seasoned athletes, and athletes looking to balance ambitions of fitness and training with family and professional goals. I'm Sarah Schlichter, a sports dietitian and mom to two girls. I'm a huge believer in merging the principles of sports nutrition and intuitive eating. Life's too short to not enjoy your food. You can learn more about my work at bucketlisttummy.com.
And I'm Marita, a sports dietitian and mom to two boys in San Antonio, Texas. I work with endurance athletes at my private practice, Eat to Compete. My goal is to help runners and triathletes learn to fuel their training with intuitive eating, heal disordered eating, and become a happier and more resilient athlete. We are two sports dietitians and moms here to break down the nutrition science to make training more fun and approachable for you. Whether you're a novice athlete, a weekend warrior, a mom trying to fit in a consistent exercise schedule, or a top finisher at big races, we want to help you understand the importance of fueling well. We're so glad you're here and would appreciate you sharing this episode with someone you think would enjoy it, like your favorite running buddy or a coworker who trains too. All right, let's dive into today's episode.
Welcome to the podcast, everyone.
Hello.
Hey, Marita. How are you today?
Good. I'm excited to talk about our topic today of carb loading. I know it's a really big topic right now with spring races and fall races on the horizon, and Hopefully no COVID, canceling anything for the fall. I feel like everybody is just racing and diving into training. So this will be a fun one.
Yeah. And we did get a few questions through our Instagram account that we will talk about throughout. But The goal of this episode is really to have you take carb loading seriously. I think there's still a lot of, at least my athletes kind of think it's something you can skip. And We still have this fear of carbs. I don't know how and when we can get over it, but we really want to break down what the research says. There is a lot of research on this, and we're going to talk about exactly how much, how soon you should start, what that looks like how do you eat that many carbs without feeling overly full, or how can we split them up? Tip, liquids are really, really helpful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about all of that. And hopefully after this episode, you'll have a better understanding of why we really promote doing this. And it really makes your training so much more efficient.
It does. And Sarah and I have both used this in our own athletic endeavors and with our clients. I had a client a couple weeks ago who I walked through this, and it seems maybe a little bit overwhelming and intimidating at first. And spoiler alert, you might get sick of carbs, which I didn't think was possible, but it could be possible with how much you're trying to eat in those 2 to 3 days leading up to. So it's just funny because Sarah and I were talking before we hopped on that we both are like, we're not training for anything. When was the last time we did a carb? I haven't done a carb load since like 2019.
Yeah. I didn't do one for my half. I just kind of, my diet's generally high in carbs anyway, but My last full was 2019 too.
Yeah. Yeah. So this isn't really our a season of life right now, but we are well-versed in this. So we're excited to dive in and hopefully help you carb load properly so that you can crush your next race.
Yes, totally. Okay. So let's start by talking about what is carb loading exactly. So there's actually a scientific term for it. It's called glycogen supercompensation. So if you say that to your friends, you'll sound really smart. Hey guys, are you supercompensating right now? But really, we just call it carb loading. And the goal is to increase your muscle glycogen stores from resting levels, which are generally somewhere between 130 to 135 millimoles per kilogram, more than you need to know. But we want to up that somewhere between 210 and 230. You don't need to measure that. That's within the muscle, but that's the goal. And we usually do it for an extended period of time, so usually 2 to 3 days, where you're fueling up to prepare for race day. A marathon, maybe even a half marathon, definitely like an Ironman, long course triathlon, anything like that. So why we say anything a half marathon and above with carb loading is that the research shows it's really only beneficial for anything over 90 minutes. So that might be a half marathon for many of us. Some of us may be quicker than that for a half, but anything over 90 to 120 minutes worth is what we recommend. And that's because that's really the extent to the amount of fuel that our muscles can hold on to. So once we pass that amount of time or distance in endurance exercise, we really need to be taking in carbs during to maintain blood sugar and make sure we're not hitting the wall. But also, if we're carb loading, that's where we get that advantage ahead of time because our muscles are able to hold on to a little bit more. By the end or by the middle or end of a long run, these are usually depleted. So if you're going out for your marathon training runs, 18 miles plus, your glycogen stores are likely depleted. So carb loading can help stock them a little bit more with fuel for race day. And from a basic fundamental level, I think all of us know this by now, but it's always helpful to hear, carbs are our preferred fuel source, especially if you're looking for PR race efforts, intensity, speed. You're not going to hit any speed times if you're not giving yourself carbs. Carbs are really what we can translate to quick energy. So stocking them ahead of time really helps ensure you don't hit the wall.
Right. The goal of carb loading is to fully stock our glycogen stores. And as you know, we've talked about this many, many times. Glycogen is the storage form of carbohydrates in our muscles. And again, those carbs are our preferred fuel source when you're running, especially when you're running hard on race day, because they are the quickest source of energy for our muscles. You might think like you should be fat adapted because you do have more fat in storage form, but truly we use carbs more. Our body prefers carbs as our fuel source, especially when we're going for a long and hard effort. Research shows any race over 90 to 120 minutes will benefit from a carb load, even if we plan on going hard and racing. Carb loading can prevent the feeling of hitting the wall, you know, that dreaded feeling around mile 20, postpone fatigue, and extend the duration of your long run or race by about 20%. That is a lot. And improve your performance by about 2 to 3%, in which a set distance is covered as quickly as possible. Carb loading really ensures that the athlete can maintain high-intensity exercise longer. However, a big caveat that gets confused is that it will not affect your pace in the first hour. It really comes to light in the later part of a longer race. Going back to that 2 to 3%, that might not sound like a lot, but if you are going 180 minutes in a race, that is 5 minutes off your time. That is a significant amount. That's probably a PR for a lot of people, right? 5 minutes is a lot. That could be a Boston qualifying time, 5 minutes. So that is a big difference. So you might be thinking, oh, I don't need to do this for 2%, 3%, but it will significantly help you. 5 minutes is a big chunk of time. Since carbs are a finite resource, they can run out. Without adequate carbs, we won't be able to hold on to those higher intensity paces later in a race. So again, this won't necessarily affect that first hour or so of your pace, but later on, it will definitely help you from not hitting the wall and slowing down. Any form of endurance training promotes glycogen supercompensation by increasing the activity of glycogen synthase, but the athlete must be trained or carb loading will not work. Essentially, you can't not train for a marathon and then rely on carb loading to save you, to help you finish the race. You have to be training.
Your body will be like, what's going on here?
Yeah, like, I don't know what I'm doing. And this is super common that we both see in our athletes. A feeling of stiffness, bloating, and heaviness can occur. And that's just because additional water is stored with the glycogen. And that should go away with exercise when you're running that race. So don't be alarmed if you feel super stiff and bloated and heavy. That's totally normal.
Yeah. And that's another reason why we can kind of practice this a little bit before training run. So it's not like the first time you're ever doing this before race day, your body's like, oh, I'm eating like double the carbs I usually am. Obviously, your diet should be higher in carbs as you're training anyway. And hopefully, if you have questions about that, you are working with a dietitian or inquiring, because it's hard to figure out those needs on your own. But training your body really does adapt and can learn to store more glycogen stores.
One thing that I read while putting this together too is that females and male athletes also differ with carb loading, which I did not know this. Did you know this? I mean, it makes sense, but
yeah, I feel like maybe I've heard it somewhere along the way. I guess we're learning, female athletes, we're just different with
just a lot different. Of we're not small men, right? So female athletes, as we know, oxidize more fat and less carbs during endurance training than males. So carb loading is actually more effective in males. However, big caveat here, there's hardly any research on women and carb loading, which is super frustrating and hopefully will be remedied in the future. But don't worry, don't think that just because you're a female that you can't carb load, that it won't be effective. It still will. I just wanted to put that in there because I thought that that was interesting and that I guess that makes sense since we do oxidize more fat because we have more fat on our bodies. So
Yeah. So the big question is when should I start my carb loading? How many days before the race? What do I need to be doing? So research shows 60 to 72 hours before your marathon. So that's about 2.5 to 3 days before. So if you're racing on Sunday, perhaps starting late Wednesday, Thursday. If you're racing on Saturday, starting Tuesday to Wednesday. You can also do it in a shorter window in 24 to 36 hours as long as you're not training. So again, when you are carb loading, it does help to be tapering because otherwise you're just going to be expending this and you're going to have to even add more carbs on top of all of this. But as long as this is a really short window, you're not training, you're doing 24 to 36 hours, it can work. However, it's better to do a longer window, give yourself a little bit more time, 2 to 3 days for your muscles to adapt, increase those glycogen stores, and really reduce gut issues. I feel like if you're doing it one day before, that could be really uncomfortable on your digestive system.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's super important, like Sarah said, to really emphasize that this is done during a taper. This is not done during just a regular training week, like, you know, peak week and all of that. Yes, you should be eating more carbs then, but in order to carb load, you have to make sure that you are really taking down that volume, that intensity, and not working out nearly as much as you normally do during a training cycle, because otherwise it's not going to work. Because like Sarah said, you're just adding those carbs on top to fuel that workout and not necessarily to fuel up for that race. So super important that you are taking the intensity down and actually tapering so that you can successfully carb load. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
Yeah. And I feel like there is a mental component to this because we're combining two fear things for some people together, right? Rest days, not training as much, and we're telling you to eat more carbs at the same time. So that's where it's really helpful when I'm working with athletes to kind of talk these fears through, talk about really the benefits we're going to see, what's happening in our body and how this is beneficial. Some athletes really like the scientific explanation. And then the research. I mean, you can really see 2 to 3%. Again, like Marita said, that can be 5 minutes. It can be more than that if you're running over a 3-hour marathon. So it really does make a difference. And if you're putting all of that time into training, why not? Why not do something that we know is only going to help you?
Exactly. So how much? The typical guideline that you'll see is 8 grams per kilogram of carbs per day. We did see that new research shows somewhere between 10 and 12. So if that seems like a lot to you, which I feel like it seems like a lot to me, that is a lot of carbs. I would start with 8 and see how you feel. Maybe try it for this race. And then if you feel like that wasn't super successful, or you're working with a dietitian or any other kind of avenue of that, think about maybe bumping it up to 10. I feel like 12 is it's just a lot. So I don't know. I feel like anywhere between that 8 to 12 is probably a good range. You want to do this again for 2.5 to 3 days before. So what we want to do is find your weight in kilograms. So take your weight in pounds and divide it by 2.2. So let's say you weigh 120 pounds, just as an example. That's 55 kilograms. So that's 436 grams of carbs per day. How do we carb load? How do we get to the nitty-gritty of this? Think about making the majority of your plate carbohydrates, at least 50% starting somewhere Tuesday, Wednesday, the week of your race. Then bump that up to 70, 80% Thursday, Friday, depending on race day. If your race day is Saturday, start on Thursday. If it's Sunday, start on Friday. We still want you to have protein. I would say, I don't know, 2 to 3 ounces. What do you think, Sarah? You think that's a good amount?
Yeah, you have to be a little strategic here. Yeah. Obviously, protein's important and you need it. But if you're eating too much protein, that's going to displace the carbs. Mm-hmm. And carbs are really the priority.
Mm-hmm. It's going to fill you up. Yeah. So don't completely eliminate protein because then that's not good for muscle recovery. And then you're going to be absolutely starving probably, which is fine because you do need to eat more frequently. But, you know, bring it down to about 2 to 3 ounces, which is about the size of your palm instead of maybe if you're used to having a bigger chunk of protein. And then really minimize vegetables, especially cruciferous ones. So broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, leafy greens, things like that, because that's one going to cause, might cause GI issues if you have a sensitive gut. And it is fibrous, so it's going to take up more space and make you feel more full. And then another thing is to also try to minimize fat, because again, fat has more calories and we really want to focus on getting more carbs. That fat's going to fill you up. You're not going to be able to eat as many carbs as you need to.
Yeah. And as you're starting to learn, there is a little strategy here. I mean, I have a lot of athletes who do eat pretty quote unquote healthy. So the idea of like carb loading is like, oh yeah, I'm just going to eat like lots of vegetables and lots of fruit. And you can do that. But again, like Marita said, that's a lot of fiber. That's going to expand in your stomach. Now is actually a great time to include fun foods. And we'll talk about some sources shortly. But it's going to be much easier to meet your high carbohydrate needs if you're choosing some of the lower glycemic or the higher glycemic foods with lower fiber amounts.
Yes, exactly. And again, it's not going to keep you fuller, so you'll be able to eat more frequently and it won't seem so daunting to be getting certain amounts of grams every couple hours like we're going to talk to you about shortly.
Mm-hmm. Another thing on the fat, like Marita said, I mean, I always cook in like olive oil, things like that, butter. During carb loading, I may just use less of that, or I may switch to like a lower fat yogurt, because again, I'm a huge fan of like whole fat dairy, but I don't want to fill up from fat. I want to fill up mostly from carbs. So that might be a little switch you can make, just to, you're still going to be getting carbs through dairy, but it could allow you to put like more cereal on there or more fruit or a carb source.
Yeah, that is a really good tip. I think too, thinking about like eating toast and bagels and bread, maybe instead of butter using like a jelly or honey, or like very, very sparingly using the butter and then putting mostly like a lot of honey, a lot of jelly if you need like something to make it a little less dry, just because we're really trying to make sure that we're not getting a lot of that fat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those upgrades are great ways to add more carbs, honey, jelly. Those are great.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about what these carbs are. So fruits, obviously, any kind of fruit is fine. You don't have to worry about different kinds of fruit having more fiber and all of that. Just go to town with that fruit. A really good way to do that is to add fruit to any meal that you're having. Starchy vegetables like potatoes, sweet potatoes, corn, peas, those are awesome to have as your vegetable on your side and to make sure that you're getting extra carbs right there. Dairy. And again, like Sarah said, try to get lower. I mean, right? I would say to try to get lower fat there if you can. If you want that to be like your main fat source, you can go whole fat.
Yeah. If that's like one of your non-negotiables, like some people really like whole fat dairy and that's totally fine.
Yeah, totally understand that and agree. So don't worry about that. And things like sugar-sweetened beverages, juice is wonderful here. I know it can be really overwhelming to think about carb loading, especially when we get down to like the actual amount in a couple minutes, what we're going to walk you through. So apple juice, orange juice, any other kind of juice that you like, this is a really great time to have that in place of water and other things like sports drinks. So then you get extra electrolytes and you get some carbs there as well.
Mm-hmm. And if the idea of us telling you to drink sugar-sweetened beverages like juices, sports drinks is freaking you out, go back to our episode all about sugar a couple episodes ago. That should be really helpful in talking you through that. And also remember, this is only for 2.5-3 days. Like, this is a temporary period of time to strategically enhance your performance.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, if you have GI issues or a sensitive stomach, carbo load with lower fiber foods like white rice, white bread, etc., to minimize roughage left in your GI tract that may cause issues on race day. We've all been there where we have had to go through the porta potty line and then get right back into the porta potty line to go back and go many, many times. So it's a really good way to minimize some of those GI issues on race day when you eat more white bread, white rice, and things like that in order to make sure that you're minimizing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then as always, stick to familiar foods you eat regularly and before those long runs, races, anything like that. Don't try anything new on before that week before, I would say at least the week before, just in case. Try not to eat out too. I've had a lot of clients, like they will eat out maybe because they're like traveling for a race and it's like a racecation and then their family wants to go to a certain place and it's like, oh, I don't know. You always risk, you know, getting a foodborne illness or being influenced by what everyone else is eating and then not really sticking to what you should be eating, carb focused. So if you can eat at home or at the very least, like bring your own snacks to try to eat more regularly and eat things that you're familiar with.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And usually when you're out, they're using a lot more oils, which, yes, you know, it tastes really good. But again, we don't need to be increasing our fat during this time. We need to be increasing our carbs. And if you're thinking logistically, okay, so I've done the math. I've divided my weight in pounds by 2.2. Let's say I'm somewhere between 430 to 480 grams of carbs a day or something like that. Like, that's a lot. Logistically, how am I supposed to do this?
Yeah.
So we recommend splitting them into smaller servings. So this may even be an opportunity where if you're not eating consistent snacks, like maybe you're including more snacks to reduce the amount. So obviously, if you were to divide 480 into three, that would be three large meals that might not be comfortable for you. So instead, we recommend splitting your carbs into like 40 to 60 gram servings, somewhere around there. So the average being about 50 grams. Have those for your snacks. Your snacks should be mostly carb-based. Obviously, you need a carbs in your meal. So if you're having them in smaller amounts more often, and again, including things like liquids, honey, jams, it can add up pretty quickly and it won't feel as overly physically filling for you. Mm-hmm. But definitely don't try to just overload them into one or two meals.
Right. Right. For sure. That would not be good at all. Oh, man. No.
And kind of like we mentioned too, we do want to distinguish between fat and carbs. Like, a lot of carb things that we think about with fun foods also have fat. So ice cream, donuts, cookies, and that's fine. You definitely can have some of those to an extent, but we don't necessarily want you to rely on that because they're also high in fat and that can make you fuller. And for some people, high fat in the diet can cause GI upset.
All right. So let's talk about serving sizes. For 50 grams, like Sarah just talked about. Okay, 50 grams equals one large baked potato, sweet or white potato, two slices of bread, or like think about like one large piece, like hunk of bread, like sourdough, one large bagel. So this is tricky because I know bagels can really vary in size. Like right now we have a bagel bag from HEB and these bagels are huge, like the size of my son's head. And then we have ones from like Dave's Killer Bread and these are way smaller. So if you can go bigger, great. If you're like, this is the biggest bagel ever, I don't think I can finish all of this, that's totally fine. Just remember that these serving sizes vary for sure. Two scoops of a sports drink or 50 gram equivalent. So 50 gram of carbs equivalent for whatever your favorite sports drink is. Remember that most noons don't have any. So I know noon is like the go-to. So that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about Scratch or Infinite, Tailwind, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, you need calories. Yeah. You need calories to get carbs. So yeah. Noon, I just actually pulled up a little tab on my desk and there's 2 grams of carbs.
Right, right.
Tab.
Noon is great for electrolytes, not good for carbs. So four dates, that's a really good one. And you can make that savory too by adding like a teeny tiny amount of peanut butter or something like that just to like break it up a little bit if it's like too sweet. 4 graham crackers, 1 cup of cooked pasta, 1 cup of cooked rice, 2 servings of pretzels. I feel like pretzels are such an amazing way to get carbs because not only that, but you're getting salt and they're portable. You can just eat them really quickly without even really thinking about it. So that's a really great way to get some carbs in.
Yeah. Pretzels, chips. I like chips, some yeah. chips too. Mm-hmm. Tortilla chips.
Yes. Yes. Love that. 16 ounces of apple juice, orange juice, lemonade. This is the time to really go crazy with those sugar sweetened beverages. 1.5 to 2 cups of dry cereal. 2 servings of your favorite candy. And again, we're really trying to make sure that it's not like the super fatty candy. So maybe not
like this chocolate
stuff. Right. This isn't the time to have like a Snickers bar, right? So maybe something like a little bit on the sour side. 1 cup of dry oats. 2 medium bananas. Again, bananas vary so much in size. So maybe it's 1 big banana or 2 smaller bananas.
Yeah. You could easily make a smoothie with 50 grams of carbs.
Yes.
Like, totally. For sure.
1 cup of sweetened applesauce, 2 cups of pineapple. That seems like a lot of pineapple to me, but that is the 50-gram equivalent. 3 tablespoons of honey, 1/4 of a cup of maple syrup. So again, we're not telling you to have like chug maple syrup. Maybe this is the time that you really go crazy with putting all of that on your waffles or pancakes or something like that.
Yeah, my daughter would be thrilled.
Yes. And then 1/2 a cup of raisins. Again, a really good snack to just have with you. Have a bag of pretzels and raisins, you know, if you're out walking with the family, or you just need to grab something really quickly in the pantry.
Absolutely. And these like aren't overly filling snacks. So the goal is even if you're not feeling super hungry between meals, hopefully you can find something that sounds appetizing, like whether you are in the mood for something salty or crunchy like pretzels, or you want something sweet like raisins, or mixing honey on a little bit of toast, or chocolate milk or sweetened applesauce. Like that goes down pretty easily. So we're really trying to help you see that it can be doable, especially if you're breaking it into those smaller instances throughout the day.
And really consider, I think one of the biggest tips that I've read when I was studying to get my CSSD, which is the sports dietitian certification, is to not let yourself get hungry. Because when you get hungry, you start to dip into those reserves. Yes, you dip into your blood sugar first, but make sure that you are eating every 2 to 3 hours. Like I know that might seem really overwhelming at first and you're not used to that, or maybe you are because you're training so much, but really, really try to stay on top of it. If you have to set an alarm or whatever it is that's going to help you eat more frequently, is really try not to get super duper hungry, because it's not going to serve you and you're going to dip into those stores, which is going to negate your carb loading.
That's a really good tip. Yeah, because you wouldn't think about that. Like sometimes we think hunger is good. Like, okay, it's time to eat again. Right. My body's asking. But if you get to that point, like Marita said, the whole point right now is we're tapering, we're loading up our glycogen stores. So we don't want to get to a point where our body's like, oh, I'm already burning through these stores.
Yep.
Feed me more. You kind of want to be proactive.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so now that we've talked a little bit about the different foods you can include, and those are just ideas, there are plenty of other options. We're going to talk for a little bit more about some practical tips to help you do this a little bit more easily. All right, practical tips, liquids. We talked about this. Liquids are generally less filling than solids. So drink your juice, have a cup of orange juice or apple juice with breakfast. I mean, it's still a serving of fruit, but you're getting more carbs. We talked about carb-rich snacks, so your snacks should be predominantly carbs, and again, higher in carbs, not necessarily higher in fat. Another easy thing to do is add fruit to what you're currently eating. I like dried fruits for this too, because they're a little bit less filling. You know, eating an apple is great and kind of satisfying, but it might fill you up at least temporarily. So instead, if you're having like raisins or dried tart cherries or something like that, you can either snack on them as a whole or add it to what you're already eating. Lower glycemic foods. So again, that is high fiber. Low glycemic means it's going to take a long time to digest. Those are foods that we may want to avoid, especially if we are trying to increase our carb intake. They're going to fill us up. They're going to take up more room in our stomach. Instead, we want to tend to choose higher glycemic, lower fiber foods, because again, they are not going to fill us up as quickly. They're going to allow us to eat more carbs usually with less digestive issues.
One key thing too is to make sure you are hydrating so your muscles store those carbs. We recommend that you maybe switch out at least one of your like water bottles or one of your glasses with an electrolyte tab, whether it's a noon tab or electrolyte scratch, whatever it is that you use, especially in that week leading up to race day. And this is something I recommend all my athletes do, especially when they're deep in a training cycle, at least once a day. Yeah, to get some extra electrolytes. What about you, Sarah?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not even in training and I'm doing it.
Yeah, exactly. So some others that are really good. We talked about like with Kaylee McDevitt. She recommended Element Tea, which is like blowing up right now on social media. Jigsaw is a good one that she recommends a lot. I love Scratch. That's my favorite one. So those are just some other electrolyte options. What's your favorite right now, Sarah?
I think Scratch has always kind of been my go-to. I've used Tailwind before and had success with Tailwind as well. But yeah, I like the Scratch flavors. Their lime and their orange are really good.
Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of triathletes really love Infinite, especially for the bike, which is great. So that's another really good one. And that has carbs too. So lots of options. One key thing too is to replenish with some sort of meal and or liquid carbs right after each run with simple carbs. So let's say you normally have like a recovery smoothie right after you work out or have a run or whatever it is. Try to avoid veggies in there. Like maybe you put like cauliflower or spinach or kale. Avoid that right now. Make sure you're just keeping it to like fruit and dairy and a little bit of your protein powder. I would say like half your normal protein powder just to make sure that you're not getting too full, because that protein powder can keep you pretty full. And make sure you eat within 15 minutes of ending each workout, no matter how long it was. Let's say you go out like for a 2 to 3 like mile shakeout run, eat something immediately. That'll help restock that glycogen and make sure you're ready for race day.
Yes. Emphasize that. Ideally, remember, yeah, you should be tapering, so you shouldn't have long workouts anyway. At least not as long as what you're used to. So even if it's short, you don't physically feel like you need something, do it. Eat within 15 minutes of that workout.
100%. And again, this carb loading is really going to feel repetitive and boring. It's only for a few days. It will make a huge difference. Yes, you might get sick of carbs, but you can return to normal eating shortly. You can have that huge burger or slice of big pizza when you're done with the race. So just focus on the next couple of days, try to get through it, and make sure that you are really committed to eating every 2 to 3 hours or so. Salt your food too. It's really important that you're getting enough sodium. Take it super easy. Try to just relax. Keep stress low as much as you can. That will really help with that glycogen supercompensation. And this is key. Remember that bloating is totally normal. You're storing extra water, which is really good. That's totally normal. You're going to need that water and you're going to need those carbs. So don't worry if your shorts are feeling tight, you're looking extra bloated. I would say we don't believe in this anyway, like throw out that scale anyway. But if you happen to like weigh yourself and you're like, oh my gosh, why have I gained, you know, 5, so whatever pounds, whatever, it doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. That's normal. That's good. That means you're doing it right.
I was going to say the same thing. Don't weigh yourself during this time. If you do gain weight, that is normal. That's what's supposed to happen. That means your body is storing that extra carbohydrate mixed with extra water. So that would be a good sign, but it's not something to stress about. It's not something you need to monitor. Again, if you are eating the right amount, the right range of carbs, as we talked about earlier in this episode, how to determine that, you should be good.
Okay, so we got two questions from our Instagram, which is Nail Your Nutrition, if you do not follow us. So the main one of them was how much to actually have for carb loading, which I hope we answered for you guys. But another one that we thought was good was how and when to practice for training. So I would say Sarah and I both promote eating as many carbs as possible during training, because you want to make sure that you're getting enough carbs to fuel those long workouts and all those training cycles. I would say you don't really need to do this. You don't need to technically carb load, and I say I'm putting it in quotes, for training, because you are still training. So you're not going to be able to actually carb load because you're not tapering. You're not taking that intensity and volume down. I would say before a long weekend of a lot of workouts, a long run, whatever it is, yes, you should be having carbs more maybe on that Friday or Thursday whenever you do your long run or long workout, long bike, whatever it is, then yes, you should be having more carbs that day. But I don't think it's really possible to carb load during training.
Yeah, to our point earlier, like the mismatch would be bigger. You would probably have to go above and beyond because you still are expending those carbs during training. Right. What I tell my athletes is, I mean, the night before, you should be having more carbs anyway. Like if you're thinking about your typical balanced plate, like protein, veggies, carbs, less veggies, a little bit smaller amount of protein, more carbs. That's the night before, even the day of, like lunch and thinking about that. I mean, you can be a little strategic there. And I do think it's important to at least practice this. So, you know, before your long runs, teach your body to eat more carbs than you normally do. Add an extra snack, have a nighttime snack. If you're not doing that, at least if you get used to it, when you do start carb loading, your body will be a little bit more adapted, which I think can help with GI issues. So to some extent, you can practice a little bit. You don't necessarily need to get to the range that we're recommending, but I think the goal is to increase what you're already doing now to teach your body to hold on to more carbs.
And remember, a training cycle is just a couple months and carb loading is just for a couple days. These don't have to be permanent changes. This is just something that you're trying to do in order to really maximize your training and hopefully crush that race and not hit the wall.
Right. All right, everyone. Well, hopefully We answered questions. We help you understand the importance of carbs in your overall diet, especially leading up to race day here. If you have any success after listening to this episode, if you have a really good long run, if you have a great race, please let us know. We would love to share your wins and glorify carbs even more because they are just so demonized in our world today.
It's true. If you have any questions or you have a topic that you want us to cover, go to Nail Your Nutrition on social media and send us a DM or email us at nailyournutritioncourse1@gmail.com. That wraps up today's show. Thank you so much for listening. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review so others can find it more easily. You can also stay in touch with us by joining our Facebook group, Nutrition for Runners. If you have any requests for future episode topics and more, email us at nailyournutritioncourse1@gmail.com. Happy fueling!